Hello again, welcome to the program. We continue in our series. Today we're going to talk about men who knew what to do. We mentioned that in our previous program. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." In our previous program, we were looking at what we ought to be doing in this day and age in which we're living. Bible says, "In the last days perilous times have come, but we are called according to his purpose. We're here, we're living now, and God has a purpose for us being here." Paul said that we need to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths concerning his purpose for our lives." Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." I want to rewind back to October the 7th, 1955. At that time, Disneyland had just opened in California. "In God We Trust" was added to all U.S. paper currency. McDonald's fast food restaurant was underway. Winston Churchill had just resigned as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. The average yearly wage was around $4,000. The minimum wage was 75 cents an hour. New cars sold for less than $2,000, and gasoline had soared to 25 cents a gallon. Well, I was 12 years old at that time. On October the 7th, 1955, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That was 24,688 days ago from the time I recorded this broadcast. That's a lot of time to make a lot of mistakes. And we're going to be talking about not the things that I knew what to do. I can tell you what not to do. I fell in some holes, and I can say, don't do that because it's not pleasant. 24,688 days to make mistakes. Well, one of the things I did do was not a mistake. The day after I was saved, it was a Saturday morning, October the 8th, I wrote a poem. I sat down at the dining room table as a 12-year-old kid, and I wrote this down. I was sitting there relaxed, listening to the preacher, but my heart began to pound when I heard the preacher say, "Unless you're born again, you will never get to heaven. Why don't you come and be born again today?" My heart was getting heavy, and the devil said, "Stay here." But I heard the Lord whisper softly in my ear, "Don't let the devil keep you. Come on, take your stand. I'll guide you through your troubles. I'll always hold your hand." I began to think back on all the sin I'd done. My heart was loaded with them, and I could no longer run. So I took the Lord's advice, and I stood up on my feet. And back from the Lord, I would never, ever retreat. I finished writing the poem, and just as I did, a lady who was responsible for getting my mother and my brother and myself to that meeting where we trusted the Lord, she came by to visit. I read the poem, and I said, I need a title. And she said, "Why, that's conviction." I said, "How do you spell it?" And she told me how to spell it, and I wrote it down, and I called the poem Conviction. Well, we got totally involved in the local church that she took us to, and the first week after we were there, they went out on visitation, so I went with them. I went with this deacon. He drove a little Vauxhall Victor like the one you see pictured, and we drove into this driveway, and these two are the ugliest, meanest police dogs or German shepherds I've ever seen. And that little car, they were right, I mean, I was looking out the passenger window, and those teeth were snarling right in my face. And the deacon kind of laughed and said, "Let's just go somewhere else." And I said, "Where's your faith?" And I got out of the car, and I walked to the house down a fairly long sidewalk, and those two dogs were barking and snarling at me. And I knocked on the door, and the lady said, "Are you not afraid of those dogs?" I said, "No." And I said, "Here's some information to tell you about our church and how to tell you how to go to heaven. I hope you read it." I went back and got in the car. Well, we got back to the church. That deacon was telling everybody else about what I did. Well, I thought that was a normal thing to do for a Christian. You see, that's what you call childlike faith. Somewhere along the way, we lose that. I wouldn't get out of that car today, but I did then. It's something about, I don't know, you just when you first get saved, you just believe the Bible. Well, I got involved in every area in the church that I could get involved in. I was present at every meeting that they had, Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, special meetings. By the time I was 14 years old, I was teaching a Sunday school class. Shortly thereafter, I was in charge of a weekly children's program. And as a teenage kid, I preached my first message at a Sunday evening service in the auditorium that you see pictured here. I was having a great time, and I loved the Lord, and I wanted to do this. I found a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:27. It says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are which are mighty." I thought, that puts me right at the front of the row. I'm right at the head of the line. God can use me. And so I wanted him to do just that. But there is a way, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And 1 Chronicles 12:32 says we need to understand the times to know what Israel ought to do. I wish somebody had taught me what to do and what not to do as a Christian. And so as a result, as I said, made many mistakes. But, you know, either those mistakes make you better or they make you bitter. And the only difference in that word is the letter I. We're going to be looking at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. We're going to look at something in our next program we ought not to do. Be sure and be with us.